Hello and welcome to the Vet Blast podcast. I am your host, Dr. Adam Christman, Chief Veterinary Officer here at Fetch DVM 360.
Welcome back to the Vet Blast podcast and wonderful colleagues in our profession. We're going to talk about some of the new survey results and research that came out of HABRI. And I love talking about the human-animal bonds. This is right up my alley, as I'm sure many of you tuning in. And joining us, we have Dr. Tiffany Tupler in the house, and she's a senior veterinarian for Chewy Health, and Lindsay Brown, vice president of research for HABRI. Welcome, my friends.
Hey, thanks for having us.
Well, thanks for joining us, and let's get into it because we got a lot to unpack here. And Lindsay, I'll start with you. Let's kind of go over the survey highlights here. So this survey, it captures some powerful insights about the evolving relationship between people and their pets. Yay, we love them. From recording the highest ever human-animal bond score to uncovering what drives client satisfaction. So what stood out to you most in the findings, and why are these results important for veterinary teams and the broader pet care landscape?
Yeah, so just to unpack that, you know, we measured the human-animal bond, the strength of it, using our HAB score, which is a 14-statement scale that gets at the four different dimensions of the bond: attachment, humanization, commitment, and integration. So the highest possible score you can get is a 70, and we saw an average of 60 across these respondents. Mm-hmm. That's actually the highest average we've ever seen. We've done a number of surveys that include this measure, really indicating that the bond is stronger than ever. Maybe it's, you know, it's really to no huge surprise. We know, even just asking the respondents, 97% of them indicated their pet was like family. 90% reported health benefits resulting from having their pet. But so it's not, the surprising thing wasn't that the bond is strong. It's actually that there are significant differences in terms of the strength of the bond. We kind of grouped pet owners into strong, stronger, strongest based on their responses. Actually, if you look at it on the chart, it's not a bell curve. It's actually folks are really clustered towards the top. But in terms of things like behavior, vet visits, those with the strongest bonds are more likely to visit the vet more often. Willingness to spend on pets is different. And then how they experience challenges, those with the strongest bonds, they didn't necessarily experience more challenges related to pet care. They actually experienced the challenges they experienced more deeply and acutely. And then also willingness to uptake technology when it comes to addressing certain, you know, challenges through technology. They're more likely to be interested and also already be utilizing tech tools. And so this is really, you know, this matters to teams. I think maybe it comes to no surprise, like understanding a client's bond can really help you know, you be more effective in the care that you deliver and the recommendations, not only the care recommendations, but what you offer in terms of tech solutions, for example, and understanding the bond can really help you deliver more effective and responsive care.
I can't get over that. It's 60 out of 70. That's huge. That's huge. I'm not surprised. I don't know. I go back and forth on that number because I was like, wow, that really is, it's higher than I anticipated, which is good. I think yay for us. But is there anything in there about our pets being our Velcro pets?
There's statements about like, you know, how much, yeah, there's nothing about like, oh, my pets, well, there's attachment is one of the dimensions.
Right.
But yeah, I definitely, you know, we'll get into a little bit about, you know, pet owners wanting to spend a lot more time with their pets.
Mm-hmm. Let's talk about the emotional toll, because my goodness, we're going to get into that in a little bit too, because I know that's important. But knowledge gap in pet health, Dr. Tiffany, this is interesting. The survey showed that 82% of pet owners struggle to understand their pet's health needs. So from a veterinary perspective, how does this knowledge gap impact care, and what role can veterinary teams play in closing that?
Yeah, and it's great. You know, as a shelter veterinarian myself and a community educator, we see this a lot. So this, from our side, doesn't surprise us. I mean, when you think about where we are in veterinary medicine, we're very strong at what we do best, which is diagnosing, treating, and fixing animals. But the gap with what people know, just about basic stuff, nutrition, behavior, like why do I have to go to my vet every year? for them, it's really difficult. Like they don't know where to go for resources. And we have to remember, not everybody's a scientist, so they don't understand like how to dissect, what's good, what's bad information. And sometimes, the best speaker or the best writer may be the winner of that. And so as veterinary professionals, this is like a huge area where we can impact not just veterinary care, but from a human perspective as well. I mean, this is one health medicine right here, right? Like, so utilizing your veterinary teams, that's number one. So how do we do that? Like, teach pet parents what are good resources? Like, how do they know that Cornell is better than the guy down the street telling them how to walk their dog, right? So teaching them more about the basics, right? Like, teach the simple way of like, this is how you find a really good resource. Here's how you know it's a strong resource. And then on top of that, start including your vet teams, right? As an ex, as an ex CVT, as a credentialed veterinary technician, these are our jobs. Like, we love to educate, we love to talk to people. So now you're going to help create those bonds in your own clinic where now your pet parents and your clients are going to come to you for those resources. Like, hey, my dog is acting a little Velcro-y, like you said. Like, so what do I do? Where are the resources, right? And it may not be something you want to bring them into the clinic for, but now you can start building that trust and building that bond that you are the central area where they can come and find that need. Because I can tell you just from my experiences, many pet parents feel like vets are too busy, like they don't have time, and I don't want to bother them because they have a lot of stuff that they need to do. So we should really open the door to teach them, like, hey, we want to help you be like your mentor, like your guru, to help you understand medical care and how you can help make your pet better, especially with that proactive component.
I tell a lot of the clients when they're paying to see us, they're not just also paying for professional services. And exactly to your point, they're paying for us to give them the resources and to educate them. It's all part of the reason why they're coming to see us. So I love that you're sharing that. And it's not just from the veterinarian, like you said, the technician, the CSRs. I mean, the whole team has so many great resources that they can do to help educate the pet owners out there. So I love that. It's great. What about the emotional toll, though, Lindsay? I know that's a big challenge. One of the top challenges identified was that emotional toll of leaving pets alone. Why do you think this challenge resonates across all demographics, and what is it reveal about the bond between pet owners or what they feel today?
Oh yeah, I mean, it's hard to believe that the pandemic was 5 years ago, but I think, its effects are still being felt. People all of a sudden were spending much more time at home for a little bit of time. They were isolated, but with their pets, and their pets were that kind of bright spot, serving as this really critical source of emotional and social support. And they really, we found out like they didn't want to turn back after that. They wanted to continue to spend more time than ever with their pet. And so I think that's why that's really that peaked, in terms of the survey and what folks ranked as the top challenge is they want to continue to spend more time with their pets. They don't want to leave them behind, and they worry about them, right? That Velcro pet when they have to leave them. So, I think this just reflects not only the strength of the bond and how people, see their pets and their relationships with them, but it opens up opportunities for all of us, for the vet care teams to offer more empathy-driven support, technology solutions like monitoring their pet when they're away, or even like things like pet sitting or other resources that can help them, and provide that reassurance. But yeah, I just think it's the reality based on the strength of the bond and our post-pandemic world that this challenge emerged as the top one.
I watch these TikTok videos now of pet owners that are like going on vacation and all they can do is nonstop thinking about their pet.
Thankfully, there's more pet-friendly travel out there.
Are you like that too, Dr.
Oh.
Tiffany? It's like that you see.
I mean, it's especially with some of the camera things you can do now, where you can talk
Yes.
to them and interact, and you're just like, you're not the animal that's supposed to be eating out of this pet feeder. What are you doing?
But it's to your point about the fact that we want to be with them as much as we can. So if we can have the camera on them, or we can throw a treat at them remotely, FaceTiming them. I mean, it's the new normal that we see with our pets, and I'm here for it. I'm all in. I love it. I want to talk about veterinary satisfaction from this too, Dr. Tiffany. They said that even though 98% of pet owners are satisfied with their veterinarian, only 36% reported that they are extremely satisfied, leaving significant room for improvement. So, how can we close that gap?
Yeah, that's great. And as veterinarians, we want to be top. Like, we want to be 100%. So you're right. Like, satisfaction is good, but why aren't they extremely satisfied, right? And when you look at it, it's like going back to our first question that we just interacted with, right? It's building that trust. Like, so we as doctors, and you know, we can say this across the board with all doctors, right? People want to know they're being listened to. So we have to build on our soft skills. Like we need to know we could be the best doctors in the world, but if we don't actively listen to what people are asking, right? So it could be something as silly as like, hey, I'm from Florida and I'm moving to Maine and I need to know what kind of coat to buy my dog, right? And as a doctor, you might find that to be kind of a silly question, but this is what somebody wants to know. So being that active listener, personalizing their visits, right? Like, so again, if they want to talk about the weather or they want to talk about behavior, nutrition, even though that may not be your specialty, use that as a way to help create and build that trust because now they're going to say, hey, this vet team is so great that they'll answer any question I have, or if they can't, they'll give me resources where I can go. Because now what happens is you're not just building the trust in clinic, you're also extending it outside. So this way now pet parents know, like, hey, whenever I have a question, someone at that clinic is available. And it goes back to this again, right? I mean, you said it literally, like stealing my thunder on it, but use the whole team, right? Like CSRs, having concierge, right? And concierge too, like they like you're introducing like high school students, college kids, like people who want to get into the industry. You're introducing them to everything that's amazing about what we do, which is that personalized, that empathy towards animals and building that conversation with people, right? So answering like, oh my God, I love that you want to get a jacket for your dog. And I'll make sure to write that down for the credential vet tech, right? And a CVT might walk into the room and be able to talk more about why, you know, we have risk assessments and what those mean. And then the vets, right? Taking some pressure off of us. And now we're just those final decision makers, right? Like, I see you went through my risk assessment for vaccination, and I'm really excited about some of your questions, and I'd like to help you finalize kind of your decision making. So I think really building it out of like, you know, it's, you know, people aren't looking just to come to the vet and get their exam done. Like, they really want to have that visit where they know they can really be heard and know that every time they have a question, no matter what it is, we're here to help you. And if we don't have the direct answers, we're going to be able to find you resources that can.
Yeah, well said, my friend. And you talked about individualized care. I think that's so important. When I talk about VIP in veterinary medicine, everybody's important. The new I stands for individualized care. The fact that maybe I'll provide warm blankets to my cat clients or the cats coming in, lowering the lights a little bit for them, or if I know dachshunds are coming in, maybe I'm going to talk more about back health and ramps, you know, just understanding that. And the other thing that I've mentioned a lot is that we're veterinarians, not vaccinarians. And exactly what you said is having that great conversation with them and customizing like at-risk assessment or the population that could be at risk. These pet owners nowadays, which I love the fact that they're researching these things up and they want to work with you and see, you know, what's best for my pet. And meeting them where they are is so important. So yeah, great discussion on that, Tiffany. Gosh, I can ramble on this all day. I love this. I love this, Lindsay. Okay. I want to talk about bond strength and tech adoption because the research that you showed that pet owners with the strongest human-animal bonds are also the most willing to adopt technology to support their pets, which I find so fascinating. So talk to us more about how bond strength connects to technology adoption and what this tells us about the future of pet care.
Absolutely. Yeah. So we found that tech openness, willingness to adopt technologies, climbs with bond strength. So it was around 24% among those in the lower, the strong bond category, to over 50% among those in the strongest bond group. And that correlate, you know, the younger generations, Gen Z millennials, are in that like strongest bond category. They already use around 3.6 tools on average in comparison to about 2.3 for the other generations. So not only are they interested, but they're already, you know, adopting those tools. And the interest areas in terms of how, you know, the technology can, or the types of technology that can respond and help with certain challenges. You know, they were interested in tech to find and manage their care, to better understand their pet's health and care needs. But also maybe some of the lower kind of priority areas or the challenges that seem like less challenging, like behavior and socialization, they were interested in. So again, just those with the strongest bonds are just the early adopters, those that are who are most likely going to want to utilize those solutions to, you know, better care for their pets and strengthen the bond as well.
And Dr. Tiffany, when you hear this as veterinarian, sometimes you know our colleagues are like, oh my God, technology, there's just so much of it. But when we're looking at like multi-channel communication, because some of us like to learn or hear things differently, we notice that the data shows client satisfaction rises significantly when clinics add a third mode of communication, like an email, text, or telehealth, for instance, on top of the in-person and in phones and things like that. But when we're talking about technology here, how should veterinary teams think about implementing technology without, again, overwhelming themselves?
Yeah, exactly. And you're right. I mean, we are overwhelmed, let's be honest, as vets. And I think it's really important to kind of think of it like this, right? Like when we learn, when you're an educator, right? You have to produce things in three different methods, right? Like there's visual learners, audio learners, right? And people like to have diagrams, pictures. So think of it the same way. You need three modes of communication. Okay, so what does that mean? First, let's go ahead and just let's actually put telehealth out there, right? Like let's demystify it and talk about it. We have been practicing telehealth our entire existence, right? Because what is telehealth? It's basically just saying that the pet parent or the pet is not in your clinic. So every time you pick up a phone, every time you send a text message or you send an email or you get a result through a lab, right? That's teleconsulting, telehealth, right? It's like same thing. So when you think about it, it's really simple. I mean, so think of just in person, right? That's that amazing experience that for me as a people vet, like I like interacting with people. That's the experience I love. But to your point and our point and what we found in this study is that people want more than just a phone call. So phone call, text message, email. I'm going to tell you too, like imagine virtual consultations, right? I do a lot of proactive behavior training and nutritional education, right? What a great tool to utilize like virtual consultations, right? It doesn't have to be the vet. It could even be, it could be anyone in your practice who could do a follow-up and like, hey, your dog's heartworm test is it's actually negative, and here's some great things. So it's again, it's just building that personalization. And to our earlier points, it doesn't have to be the vet, right? It doesn't always have to be that same central thing. And even, having something as simple as like teletriage, just some way that they can communicate and be a part of that system helps them feel more confident. And think of it like a hub, right? They're gonna come to you, and then you can obviously outsource that to, an online resource or to an in-house tool that you use or to somebody in the building. So I think it's just like utilizing your team to help like, pet parents and clients feel like they're a part of everything that they do and that you become that source that they can look for.
Yeah, so true. It really is. And I love the fact that we have all these different types of modalities that are there, like email, text, or telehealth. We did this one thing at our hospital a couple of years ago where we tend to have like a senior clientele, like a geriatric clientele, because we live by retirement homes. And we actually polled the audience, like, what do you prefer? And it was like, I would say about three quarters were really still interested in having that physical reminder on there that they could stick on their fridge. But it is a good reminder to know like who your audience is or who your community is that you're serving with what they prefer in terms of communication style. So really helpful with that. All right, I want to talk about my favorite gen, and it's Gen Z ladies, because in my mind I feel like I'm a Gen Z, but then I cough and sneeze and I'm like, oh, that's right, I'm a Gen Xer, everything hurts. But there are some generational differences, Lindsay, with Gen Z. So younger pet owners, especially Gen Z, stood out in the survey. What makes this group unique in terms of challenges and openness to technology, and why should veterinary practices pay attention to those differences?
Yeah, no, it's a great question. And we really interestingly, Gen Z, they experience the bond, they have the strongest bonds, but they're also most likely to experience like the most challenges, and they feel especially the pet health related challenges like most acutely. And then on top of that, yeah, like I said before, like they're the power user cohort. They already use technology in their daily lives related to pets, but they express the most interest and intention to use tech solutions. Almost five on average they were interested in using that they weren't already. And they're also more likely to rate those tools to be, more extremely or very helpful to them. That's everything from affordability solutions to like trackers and apps and even like the more kind of emerging technologies like the smart feeders and the robotic kitty litter boxes, right? They're early adopters, and they're more willing to explore what's out there. So just keeping that in mind, and especially when it comes to what you're considering to talk to them about or offering to them, and when we can kind of design our, education or resources with all of that in mind, we can better serve them. And I think others will follow as well in terms of like the future of pet care, right? The more we offer and the more we make available, the more it's going to be utilized to better serve the bond.
Yeah. Well, right under them is Gen Alpha. And Gen Alpha is really learning from Gen Z on how to pet parent in the modern era, which is great. I was watching something, I think it was on HGTV, sounds about right, with Adam Christman, because this is what I watch. And they were saying that the Gen Z clientele is the number one thing that they're asking for when they're house hunting is for their pets. They're looking for lighting for their cats, their sunroom. Right? They're looking for catios. They're looking for fenced-in yards. I mean, think about that. Like, just even 5, 10 years ago, you never heard of this before. And now, like, when they're looking for apartments and houses, like, the number one thing is, like, what is my pet going to love? Like, oh, Charlie's going to love it here. Or I have an older dog. I'd worry about the hardwood floors on her. I don't want to, like, struggle with that. Like, it's just so fascinating to see this now, like, mainstream, which is awesome. What are your thoughts on that, by the way, Lindsay? I think that's cool.
I just think it's a representation of the importance of the bond in people's lives, right? And I think
Yeah.
I'm a millennial. Like I think my generation too, we saw pets as like starter children, right? And so
Yes.
kind of like it's just a major milestone to have a pet for the first time yourself as an adult and taking care of that pet. And it just becomes, so central to your life and kind of as you walk through life, like what you care about and what you value. And I think it's a great representation of that.
Do you see that in your area too, Dr. Tiffany?
Yeah, I mean a ton. And I think about it too. I mean, like we've been educating for a while now, right? Like catios weren't a thing like back when I was a CVT and getting into behavior now, it's like I talk about catios all the time. I never talked about catios. And now it's like I say catio and they're like, "Do you want to see pictures? Oh my gosh, tell me if you like this catio. Is it up to your standard?" And I'm like, "Yo, I actually thought nobody ever liked these things, and then it's like so fun to your point. Like, I love watching what people do in home designs, like where they've built holes in their walls and they have all these
Yes.
high up bridges and staircases. Woodworkers are now specialty in building catios and like cat home and dog friendly. I mean, like, it's awesome. But I think a lot of that contributes to like, the personalization, the individual, like, people want, they see behavior, right? Like, they see that their cats are happy. They're now learning what normal behavior is. So they want to make them happy. And that makes a ton of sense.
Ton of sense. I love it. Okay, I know that Chewy Health has that tech solutions, Dr. Tiffany, and the study highlights that technology can play a big role in strengthening communication, improving access, and easing some of the challenges pet parents face. So, can you share how Chewy Health is responding with innovative tech-driven solutions that support both veterinary teams and the pet parents?
Yeah. So to kind of like build on everything that we talked about, something that we do like a lot at Chewy Health is kind of building that bridge between pet parents, that amazing customer service, right? Active listening, finding out what they want, what are their needs, and then bridging that to the veterinary profession. And so I'll start off with PetMD first. It's a great application tool. It's online, so it's completely virtual. There's no like subscriptions or fees or anything. And the way we kind of set it up is like in multi different phases, right? There's articles on there, but the questions are more in the form of like how a pet parent would ask, right? It wouldn't be like me teaching you about parvo as a vet. It's kind of like, why is my dog has what are these symptoms and why are my dogs doing it? And we even have a symptom checker for dogs and cats. So like as a pet parent, let's say the clinic is closed, they can jump on and start clicking through and finding, what is going on. And then they'll actually get like a teletriage handout. So they can actually see and virtually understand, like, oh my gosh, I need to go to a trauma center, or okay, I need to go to urgent care if it has this in it. So again, giving that sense of relief coming from trained veterinary professionals who inputted that information. And even something as simple as like we have exotic husbandry care sheets, right? Like, so like again, as a shelter vet, yeah, I see everything. But for some small animal vets, learning about spotted leopard geckos probably was not in your repertoire in vet school or even in your day-to-day. But now you can send them for those resources and say, here's simple ways that you can set this up. We also have Connect with a Vet, which is a free teletriage service. We have veterinary licensed and credentialed veterinary professionals. And this way it allows pet parents to jump on something for free and just like have a chat and just say, like, hey, like, what is this? What should I do? Should I buy this? Should I not buy this? Should I give this to my pet? And again, it's triage. So we're not diagnosing, we're not treating or prescribing, but what we're doing is we're giving them that guidance, that education of what your next steps are, because we send 80% of these guys back to their veterinarians. So the goal is to kind of integrate that middle ground of like, if you're going to get resources, make them credible. And then finally, too, like even with Practice Hub, which is our pharmacy portal, right? You may think as a vet, oh, it's just a portal. I go and I approve stuff. But if you think about it, that building bonds and giving time back, like now as a behavior team or a nutrition team, like I don't have a huge vet diet library anymore. Like now I can take that time back. I can let Chewy deal with the customer service and deal with the returns and all the other stuff. And I can actually have more conversations about nutrition, which can drive better bonds, which drives them to seek your guidance when they're looking for new and better products or when they need to change their diet and their food. So there's just a lot of stuff that we offer. And our goal is to like bring that customer service, that empathy, and that drive to bridge it between the veterinary professional and the pet parent.
Oh, that's fantastic. Yeah, I love PetMD. I use it all the time. I think it's such a great, valuable resource for all the clients and pet owners out there too. So to the listeners, if you haven't checked that out, definitely check out the website. And I know we're gonna put the results, a link to the results in the show notes as well. So we have through Habry's organization and then Chewy.com, the Bond Factor. We'll put the white paper that's linked to that as well. Excellent. Such a great time to be in this profession, right, my friends?
It's awesome.
So
Absolutely.
good. Well, thank you so much for joining us. Great conversation. Dr. Tiffany Tupler, Senior Veterinarian for Chewy Health, and Lindsey Braun, Vice President of Research for Habry. Thank you so much for joining us.
Thanks for having us. Thank
Don't
you.
forget to rate the podcast, listeners, as we continue to grow. And we'll see you next time right here on the Vet Blast Podcast. Take care, everyone.
Thank you for listening to the Vet Blast Podcast with me, Dr. Adam Christman. Tune in next time. Remember, take care of your animals and always stay pawsome.